Greetings, everyone. This is Jonathan Alexander, editor of College Composition and Communication. And today we're talking with Peter Moe. His article, Reading Cole's Reading Themes, Epidactic Rhetoric and the Teaching of Writing, is forthcoming in CCC. Peter, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Jonathan.
We're also talking with Jens Lloyd, editorial assistant of the journal. And as Jens knows all too well, I like to begin by asking our authors to say just a little bit about what brought you to this article. So maybe another way to put that specifically for you, Peter, is why Cole's?
Yeah, there's kind of two strands that go behind how this article came together. And the first strand is, I was working on my dissertation and I had a kind of a throwaway sentence buried in the middle of a chapter that referred to Bill Cole's and how he read student papers in a gruff manner. That he was gruff. And my dissertation advisor was Dave Bartholomew. And he leaped all over that sentence. And it was the only sentence about Cole's in the whole chapter, but Dave said I was being too dismissive of Cole's. And that if I was gonna say anything about him, I needed to slow down, read his work more generously, and figure out what Cole's was actually up to. And I thought about that quite a bit because I later found out that Cole's hired Dave. Dave was my advisor, and Dave later said that everything he learned about writing instruction, he learned from Bill Cole's. So I started to see Cole's as sort of a like academic grandfather of sorts. You know, he hires Dave. Dave now teaches me. So I started reading him because I wanted to figure out who was this guy that I had, you know, written off as just being gruff. So that was going on. At the same time, I was trying to figure out, my wife is a speech therapist, and I was trying to figure out some sort of connection between her work with children with autism and children with Down syndrome, trying to figure out some connection between that and what I do in rhetoric. And, you know, the King's Speech came out and it just hit me all of a sudden that, oh, she's teaching delivery. It's all about voice and gesture. And so I started, at the time, I was starting to think a lot about delivery, which got me thinking about bodies, which got me thinking about rhetorics of display. And when you start reading stuff on rhetorics of display, the phrase showing forth shows up all over the place. Mm. And showing forth leads really quickly, you know, that's one of the definitions of epidactic rhetoric that leads to praise and blame. So I have that train of thought going at the same time that Dave tells me I need to slow down with Cole's. And when I start rereading Cole's, one day I just had this like epiphany that I thought, holy cow, it's praise and blame. That's what they're doing in that classroom. And it was kind of exciting at that point to see how this seemingly unrelated line of inquiry that started with my wife's speech therapy work all of a sudden loops around to become a way of reading Bill Cole's.
I'll say this is one of the most fascinating set of backstories that we've heard yet. I mean, this is a real family affair, you know, both the immediate family, but then also, I love how you sketch out this sort of intergenerational legacy where your dissertation director is essentially saying, don't diss your grandfather, son. He has things to teach you. This is really interesting. So, so I'm just kind of curious, has Dave Bartholomew actually said anything about this article to you?
He's the draft of it, and he's okay. he likes it.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I'm just going to go, are you making good now? You know, so.
Yeah. Dave and I are actually talking about co-authoring a piece about Bill Cole's.
Yeah.
Where, he would write from a perspective of somebody who immediately worked with Cole's, and I would write from this perspective of, you know, 30 years removed and trying to do something with that.
So what I so appreciate about this piece is it reminds me of a piece by Russell Durst, actually the first piece I published as editor of 3Cs, which is about looking back and sort of recovering some of these quote-unquote older figures in the field. Yep. and learning from them and recognizing their value. Is this part of a larger project for you? Or is this would you think of this as a one-off? Or maybe a different question. What is the value of actually looking back to people whose work might be unfashionable now or whose ideas are theoretically eclipsed by other concerns? What's your thinking here?
That's a good question. I think there's value in looking back because I don't want to fall into the temptation of thinking that in our present moment that we've got it all figured out. And sort of ignore this heritage that our discipline has come from. And I like looking back to Coles because I think it gives us a sense of how writing instruction has just evolved over the years. I mean, Coles, I think, is this really foundational figure for the writing sequence, which then is, you know, such a huge part of all of our teaching today of trying to figure out how we're going to sequence these assignments. And you can see that thinking has its genesis in Coles, where his, you know, 30 assignments, one for every class period. So I think that legacy is just so important, to know where we come from as teachers and to know that, you know, our new ideas aren't just coming out of nowhere. You know, we're always situated within tradition and within history.
That's a great answer to my ungainly set of questions. So good job. Jen's pretty good.
Well, Peter, I'm wondering, I mean, as we look back, there's obviously this interest that you have in the article kind of extrapolating what this might tell us about teaching writing today. And so I'm wondering if you could, for those maybe who are listening, teachers of writing, interested in maybe what they can take from your article, if you could just maybe tease a little bit about what readers might be able to get in terms of stuff that they can take and apply in their classrooms, what they can kind of learn from your reading of Coles.
Yeah. So when I came to this realization that I thought Coles was doing praise and blame, and I started thinking that the student's writing itself was epidectic rhetoric, I immediately got freaked out because I thought that I was belittling student work. Because I think so much of rhetoric hinges on this understanding of pragmatic rhetorics, you know, the rhetoric of the courtroom, the rhetoric of the Senate, where rhetoric that does something, that you argue something. And so to say that student writing is epidectic seemed like it was sort of dismissing it as, you know, flashy and showy. And that made me a little uneasy. And in the closing pages of the article, I talk about that sort of unease, you know, are we belittling student work? But then once I realized that, you know, a few years ago, Michael Carter did an article saying that all of our scholarship is epidectic rhetoric. So he kind of opened this door to think about scholarship in that sense. So I thought, you know, if people are already talking about scholarship as epidectic rhetoric, maybe it's not that much of a stretch to think of student work doing the same. And then that starts opening up doors. Specifically, like, I find that I'm kind of tired of what my department chair calls it, the wham pow style of rhetoric that you get with, like, they say, I say, where you're just trying to, like, sock your opponent in the face. I get kind of tired of that. And I think that's grounded in this very pragmatic notion of rhetoric. And if you shift away to thinking about rhetoric as epidactic, as a display, as showing forth, you can get away from that wham pow style of rhetoric. And so I think Coles for me, opens up a way of thinking about rhetoric that's just not grounded in just blunt persuasion, you know, this bull in a china shop knocking down all opposition. It's a more nuanced way of thinking about how displays themselves can be rhetorical.
So bull in a china shop, I'm not thinking of any particular political figure at all, but I'm wondering if you see this as particularly useful at this moment, because what you're talking about certainly seems to diagnose a lot of the problems with rhetorical display, I don't know, in various news outlets, where it does seem very, they say, I say, or very knock your opponent down, or let loose the bull in the china shop. So is there something exigent in your analysis of Cole's work that's useful right now?
Yeah, I think there is. And the funny thing is, I think Coles could be characterized at times as a bull in a china closet, because he is pretty, as I said earlier, gruff at moments. Mm. But what I think is so useful about Coles is that epidactic rhetoric all hinges upon this idea of showing forth the various values that shape a community. And through that showing forth, you then, like, refine that community, you can revise that community and to transform it into something new. And because of that, the epidactic offers a space to interrogate those values. And you can see that in Coles' classroom. You know, he pushes so hard against theme writing and so hard against these ideas that writing just has to be clear and coherent and plain, simple, direct. You know, he's challenging all those values. And so I think in our present moment, the epidactic offers a way of really interrogating what are the values that are informing this rhetoric, and how can we, you know, through praising and blaming, push against those, resist those, and then transform them into something new.
It's fascinating. How has this transformed your teaching? Are you a gruff teacher? Are you a gruff commentator?
No, but I think the biggest transforming for me, I think there's just so much benefit in bringing a piece of student writing into every class period. You know, Coles does that. He brings multiple pieces. I think the book Plural Eye is built around, I think, 100 pieces or so of student writing. So since getting involved with Coles, I try to bring in at least one piece every single period. And I think the benefit of that is that the students get to see work in progress. And it's not, you know, some work from a, like a, somebody who's not in the classroom, somebody from a previous term, but no, you know, it's your colleagues that are sitting right there in the classroom. And I think there's so much benefit in working with, you know, live in-process writing.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's wonderful. We've been talking to Peter Mo, whose article, Reading Coles, Reading Themes, Epidactic Rhetoric and the Teaching of Writing, you can read in the February 2018 issue of CCC. Peter, thanks so much for chatting with us.
Thank you.